This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Hi, Boomer and Geo, coming to you live from the Build Ford Tough Studio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Huge win for the Mets last night. Another amazing display of a team that came back from the dead, has been playing great baseball for months now, and is now one win away from the NLCS in front of their home fans for the first time in a very long time. So we said it yesterday, we will say it again today: get to the game early. You saw how awesome it was yesterday at first pitch to have the entire stadium filled and the crowd going crazy because everybody got there early knowing that it was a weekday, a 508 start and all the traffic. So if you can get there early, if you can take mass transit and pack that thing again and get the same atmosphere, even greater today or tonight at Citi Field for a potential clincher game. You can go back to 6 a.m. on the Odyssey app to hear our initial thoughts on that this morning, or the podcast feature. And, of course, we've got a Yankee game tonight, and a very, very critical one in a short series, as Seth Lugo, the former New York Met, who has had a massive season for the Kansas City Royals, gets his crack at this Yankee lineup that has been quiet once again. So, I mean, this is a tall task. They're going on the road. They're facing the best pitcher that the Royals have. I want to believe that this Yankee lineup will wake up and this is not going to be similar to what it has been, and that's what I'm going to go with. I cannot, in this season, with Soto and Judge, think that they are just going to evaporate and just go out with a whimper. Now, I'm not really as bullish on them going forward as you are with what I've seen so far in this series, but man, I tell you, we cannot come in here tomorrow with another, you know, shutout, one-run, two-run effort by this Yankee offense. The fans are just going to be out with pitchforks.
Well, you know, you said it yesterday. It is a tipping point, and, you know, it's going to be this way throughout the playoffs, depending on how deep they go. I think they are going to the World Series. That's my take, and I'm going to stick with it because I do have I really want Aaron Judge to come through. I really do. And I want the Yankee fans to feel the same way that we felt about Pete Alonso. You know, because everybody talks about legacy when it comes to the Yankees. Yeah. They talk about Monument Park. They talk about championships. They talk about those moments that Derek Jeter had, that Jim Leyritz had, that his own manager had, Aaron Boone had. You know, and we all want Aaron Judge to have one of those moments or a number of those moments. We want him to be consistent. And he deserves it because I think he's a great guy. I think he's a great ambassador for the Yankees, a great ambassador for baseball. And baseball's hard, and they're pitching him tough. He's not really barreled it up yet. And the amazing thing for me as a Met fan is that I get to watch Zach Wheeler do his thing as a former Met, and now I get to watch Seth Lugo do his thing for the Royals, and he had a great year. And it's like, who the hell is watching? Well, who was watching these guys pitch for the Mets when they were here? And Seth Lugo was really good out of the bullpen for us.
He was, and he wanted to be a starter, and it wasn't in the plans. But, I mean, they loved Lugo. They used him a ton. I don't feel like they knew when he was leaving that there was an opportunity that he would be really good where he went elsewhere. And I also think, you know, you got to remember it was the Wilpons, and it was Brody Van Wagenen with the Zach Wheeler thing. So that was a... And we knew he was good, but he went to the Phillies and got in just so much better.
Well, all these guys tend to get a little bit better when they get older, except for, you know, Noah Syndergaard and Matt Harvey.
Matt Harvey, yeah.
Who they decided to go with. But I don't know. That's negative, and I don't want to be negative today. I want to be positive. And I do think that, and I am rooting for the Yankees as a non-Yankee fan.
Yeah.
To continue this run. And I am a fan of Aaron Judge.
Yeah, and I think I sort of feel the same way that I did with Alonso with Judge. It's hard to compare the two because Aaron Judge is just such a better player than Pete Alonso is. But just in this comparison, like once you get that monkey off his back, then all of a sudden it's like, all right, now he's back. Now every time he steps back in the box,
we have an opportunity to see something special. He's just got to get that first one.
And the amazing thing is he says the same thing every time, whether he hits a home run or he goes 0-for-4. He's the same guy. He's the captain. He has the captain's personality. He's the guy that you want leading your team. He is the heartbeat of the team. But really, it comes down to pitching as well.
Yeah, right. And speaking of that, it truly is amazing how the baseball season works. So in the offseason, you know, you talk about two monster teams coming into the year in the L.A. Dodgers and the New York Yankees. The Dodgers get Yamamoto. They get Soto. I mean, the Yamamoto and Ohtani. The Yankees get Soto. And you're like, man, like these two teams, collision course, Yankees, Dodgers. All right, so they're both now in situations where the Dodgers are going to be facing elimination. The Yankees are tied 1-1 going into Kansas City. The Yankees are throwing Clark Schmidt, and the Dodgers are throwing a bullpen game. With hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars invested in their players, when their asses are back up against the wall, this is what they're throwing out there. Now, yeah. Clark Schmidt's fine. But he's still Clark Schmidt.
Yeah, I know.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, it's like just, it's crazy.
Let me ask you a question. The San Diego Padres are...
They're a juggernaut right now, man. They are so good. And Ron Darling told us this, by the way.
Yes, he did.
He said that he believed that was the favorite to come out of the National League when we had him on. That was before the Mets had even made the playoffs.
But I'll tell you, the Mets played them tough the last time they went out there and played them. But I'm not talking about that because I want to worry about the Phillies first. But I will say this about the Padres. The Padres are better by subtraction. You know, Juan Soto was on that team, and they couldn't get past the Dodgers. Couldn't get past anybody, for that matter.
Yeah, I mean, Tatis was hurt for them during that time, a lot of it. I mean, it's tough
to
say.
Also suspended.
Right, suspended as well. So, I mean, I don't think that Juan Soto was a negative influence on a baseball team. I don't think that at all. I mean, I think the guy's great.
You know how I feel.
Yeah.
About
him. So I mean, I don't think he was a net negative there with the San Diego Padres. You know?
But there is something to be said about where the Yankees are today, and this is the tipping point spot.
Well, it is,
and the pressure point spot.
No, and the reason I say that is because. This has to be, if they end up losing to the Kansas City Royals that don't even win a playoff series this year, then this has to be the time where Hal says, all right, it's not working. Like, and you could talk about the business aspect of things, and I truly believe that they are happy with their bottom line, they're happy with the organization having winning seasons and making the playoffs, and they don't see it as drastically and as dramatically as the fan base does. But if they flame out this year, there just has to be some sort of philosophical change from the front office.
No, there will be.
But no, I'm not talking about Aaron Boone. Okay. I'm talking about the front office.
He'll be the first to go.
Right.
If they lose this series, he's the first to go. And I don't advocate that. I'm not a fan of the team. I'm just an observer who understands, you know, the Yankee fan base, understands the Yankee history, appreciates all that. That's fine. But if this is a moment in time, and we talked about last week when the Giants went to Seattle, if somehow Brian Daboll could get his team a win and look as good as they did and prepared as they did, then all of a sudden you can take a little bit of a deep breath and you can say, okay, we believe in the coach again. And now he's got to do it again against Joe Burrow and the Cincinnati Bengals. But, you know, that'll be a whole nother set of circumstances come Sunday night. But for Aaron Boone, he's like in that same spot. You lose this series, somebody's losing jobs.
And the Yankees have not done business that way, but you would think that this would finally be the time. And that's why I'm going tipping point spot. This is it. This is the one. So this is a critical, critical stretch for the future of this organization. And I've said that in the past and believed it in the past. There's no way if they lose to the Royals, when we've sat here and talked about how this is the easiest path they have and Soto and take advantage, it's an all-in year. I mean, to come back with the same thing again next year with Boone rolling out there.
Yeah,
it's
not going to happen.
Come on.
And Juan Soto will be playing somewhere else.
Come on. Jesse in Manhattan. What's going on, Jesse?
Boomer and Geo.
Oh, yeah. What's happening?
Oh, it's a feel-good Wednesday, boys. 2-1, not touching the money, but this team, man, the heart. I just got to love it. And real quick, got to give a shout-out to my older brother, Max. Happy birthday to Max. But the reason I'm calling in is, I'm not sure if you guys heard this, but your old boss, Spikes, new afternoon drive partner, this guy, Jack Fritz.
Mm-hmm.
He goes on live from Citi Field after the game last night, and he's ripping Mets fans because he's not scared for his life walking around the stadium. Like, that's a knock on Mets fans, that a Phillies fan can walk around the stadium and he's not afraid of getting shanked. I mean, is this what we've come to? Like,
yes.
What's going on here?
Yeah, that's very funny, Jesse. Yes, I mean, the Mets fan right now is... They won the game.
By the way,
happy.
We have Grimace as some sort of like a good luck charm. So if you have Grimace as a good luck charm, you're not going to be shanking people.
Yeah, but then again, you know, if the Phillies had won, you know, the Mets fans being angry would have been a different thing. But it's different. So like this year, the Phillies have all the expectations. You heard Michael Barkan, you know, the shame on you guys. They never would suck everything. So they won the NL East. They have the big expectations. The fan base, if they're going to lose, is angry as hell. The Mets and their fan base this year is totally different because there were zero expectations. So, yeah, it'll be disappointing, but the anger isn't going to be there this year. It's just not.
It's not Yankee fan anger.
Right. Like the anger I had in 2006 when I was like, that was the best team. We had the best team in the National League. They won the NL East. And they lost Game 7 in their building to an 82-80 Cardinals team that threw Jeff Suppan out there, for God's sakes. That was anger. I was kicking the seat in front of me that day. Kicking it. But this is like, hell, I think that's sort of the way the Mets are playing, too. It's free and easy. Like, hell, man, we are happy to be here.
I like free and easy. We need the Jets to play free and easy.
Yeah, good luck with that. Amin in Brooklyn. What's going on, Amin?
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
All right, Amin. What's happening? Going
on? Hey, let's go Mets. Hey, listen, quick question. Do you think the Mets would sign Soto if they win the World Series?
No. They'd keep Pete Alonso.
I don't know.
They would keep Pete Alonso. The question is like Starling Marte has been an injury waiting to happen, but he's come up big in some big spots, and he plays a good solid right field. He's got a great arm. That's the spot that Soto would go to. I'm going to say no.
I can't say no as confidently as you.
I'm saying if they win. I'm just saying only if they win.
Yeah.
If they win and Pete keeps doing what he's doing now, this is where we... How many times we say, do it now, we'll forget about August, we'll forget about September, but you're doing it in the biggest spots. That home run in Milwaukee, the elation... Not only that we had because he hit the home run. Because the home run, what it did and how it won the game. But it's because he hit it.
You're right. But you always say it. The number one word you always bring up with general managers is ruthless. And if David Stearns, him being a Met fan and everything else, if David Stearns believes that the better path for this organization, regardless of what happens in this postseason, is to not pay a 30-something-year-old Pete Alonso off a down regular season, I can't get mad enough for that.
But if they give Pete the original offer that they offered him, and Pete says, I'll take that offer, then they'll do it.
I don't think they will. I think that's gone now.
Let's see what happens the rest of the postseason. But he's like, look at Freddie Freeman, look at Matt Olson. That's the numbers that they're looking at. That's basically what they're looking at. They're all about the same in terms of production. Maybe Pete's more home run centric. But, Pete's played a really good first base, which has been very helpful. I think that's the part of the thing that we talk about Francisco Lindor when it comes to the MVP discussion, is that he plays the most important position and he plays it flawlessly, the shortstop, as opposed to Otani, who doesn't play the field, but he steals bases. I mean, Francisco Lindor can do that too. I don't know. It's just... It really is going to depend on how far they go and whether or not there are realistic expectations for that contract.
Yeah, I mean, in these conversations about, what does win in Major League Baseball? What is the formula that wins in Major League Baseball? And I think that having a base of homegrown guys that are on team-friendly contracts, I think that are performing is a big deal. And then just finding the right mix of guys who actually want to win and want to grind through 162-game season. I mean, there is no doubt in my mind that David Stearns, when he signed Sean Manaea and Luis Severino, he was saying, these guys need bounce-back years. They're going to come in here on contract years and pitch their asses off. They're good character guys. And we can, in that situation, there's something there. We can get the best year out of them.
They call it lightning in a bottle.
Right. But, I mean, it's that type of mentality that you need when you're building a roster. I mean, it's very tricky to figure out exactly what it takes to win in Major League Baseball, what the right mix is. But
I will say this owner said it before the All-Star break. I believe in this team. I still believe in this team. I think he said it all the way back towards the beginning of June when things were scuffling a little bit.
Well, he also was, like, responding. He thought he was responding to a DM about a guy talking about blowing up the team, too. And he's like, nothing we could do until the trade deadline. So, I mean, but he did. He bounced back from that and was very positive about the team for months now.
And I
yes.
think Anthony DiComo put out there on X that the Mets are petitioning Major League Baseball to allow Jeff McNeil to play in the fall league and out in Arizona so he can get some live hitting to see if they do move on, they could activate him. I'm like, don't touch the mojo right now, please. I mean, but they did put Senga out there.
Yeah, I know.
You know, and that's the other question. Like, you know, what's going on with Senga now? Like, that's a good problem to have.
Good problem to have.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Hi, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Jerry Recco is back. He's got another update and moment of the day for us. What's up, Jerry?
Well, good morning. Brought to you by Hard Rock Bet. Download the Hard Rock Bet app and roll with us. Also brought to you by Flag and Anthem. Real clothes for real life. So the Mets beat the Phillies last night 7-2. Home runs from Alonso and Winko early. Marte, Iglesias, Lindor coming through with big hits, too. Here was Carlos Mendoza first talking about Alonso making an impact. That's something we've been asking for him of him all summer. He certainly did it in Milwaukee last week and last night to get this thing going.
We're here because of that big swing that he got in Milwaukee, right? And then today, first pitch he sees of a really good pitcher on Nola, and he goes the other way. And not only he goes with the other way, he goes with ease. Like, as soon as he hit it, everybody in the ballpark knew that ball was gone.
And you also knew that the Winker home run was, I thought his first one was too, but the second one was out. Here was Winker really having a blast playing here.
I've always wondered what it'd be like. You know, obviously it's New York. It's a huge market. You know, the fans, they're so passionate here. And it's been, like I said, it's been a dream come true.
I love that home run swing. That is absolutely
outstanding. You know, he's got a lower, like, gold grill.
Yes, I did notice that.
Yeah.
Only noticed watching his press conference and talking to the media yesterday.
I didn't know that until I saw him being interviewed after the game. I'm like, wait, this guy's got a grill? I don't know if does he play with it? I can't hear you, Boomer.
He's got that big piece of tobacco in his mouth.
I thought they banned tobacco.
Tobacco. I don't know. I'm assuming it is.
I don't know.
Probably, he reminds me of an old school guy that's going to do old school stuff no matter how poisonous it is to his body. He doesn't care. That's what he reminds me of. The way he plays, edge, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, and wearing that grill, too.
Here was
a statement.
It is a statement. Looks good. Sean Manaea on SNY. What an atmosphere. Manaea, 7+, 3-hit balls, 6 strikeouts for the win.
It's the best. You know, the fans were into it the whole game. And, you know, we had some huge moments and got into it. And you can definitely feel the vibe. So, definitely up there with some of the best I've ever been part of.
Some of the best he's ever been a part of. So, I heard the caller mention the Jack Fritz thing.
Yeah.
So, I actually had just seen that and had started cutting some of that up. And so this was on, I guess this is a WIP post-game show or post-game podcast on YouTube. Either way, the host said it sounded great on TV. Fritz is on the phone.
What was it like being in the belly of the beast on TV tonight? It did, you know, wasn't quite Citizens Bank Park level, but, you know, credit where due. It felt like, you know, I didn't see a ton of too many Phillies fans comparatively in the stands. I definitely saw some. And the Mets fans were loud. They brought it.
It seems fair. Would you not agree?
Sure. Yeah.
Okay. Well, apparently not.
It's not that loud here. It's just not. It's not even being a homer or being biased. I've just experienced both exactly.
Okay. So he says that. Then at the end here, this is an odd way to finish.
Intimidated, I guess, as I thought.
Oh, that's hold on. That's what I want. He's talking about how difficult it would be to walk around this place.
I just didn't feel as intimidated, I guess, as I thought. You know, I thought I was walking into like a raucous, mean, nasty, you know, on top of you kind of Mets crowd, and it really wasn't that.
I mean, I wasn't there. I don't know. I thought it was pretty good on TV.
Everybody was excited, but he's talking about mean, in-your-face, intimidating, and I explained why that's not the case. You know, one, they won the game. They were leading the entire time. They're also, this fan base is elated with this group. The anger will come from fan bases like the Dodgers, the Phillies, and the Yankees. They lose. So I know there'll be anger, but it'd be more disappointment for the Met fan. It's just, but we're set up to, we got Grimace out there. OMG. It's just, everybody's just
it's
happy.
It's good, man.
It's like
we're
happy.
I know,
we're not
I
miserable
know.
Like it's, those people, if you really want to call it
in Philly,
Philadelphia. Yeah, right. No, we're not. We're a happy-go-lucky sort of group up
right.
here.
So, I mean, it was definitely, the crowd was into it. They were loud. They were cheering, but they were angry and throwing batteries at Jack Fritz.
On a cloudy day.
This is not a joke.
Know what I'm saying?
I'm glad you played that.
I mean, you had 45,000 people singing for Francisco Lindor's walk-up song.
Yeah.
You also had the MVP chants, which were so noticeable on TV. You had the Pete Alonso chants, you could tell they were
so
doing.
So much positivity.
It was.
It's unbelievable.
He just played. I know you played this earlier, but our former boss, I don't know what he's doing. This was kind of nasty, I thought.
Like a child.
Now we have the scrappy upstart New York Mets who are spending more on their roster than any team in baseball, and we have to imagine that they're some underdogs or something. They're not underdogs. They're going to lose. It's a town of losers, and I've never been more
town
proud.
Of losers.
They're living in Philadelphia and cheering for Philadelphia teams. Get ready to go home.
How'd your 76ers do against the Knicks, you scumbag? With those crappy Flyers. Only thing I like about those Flyers are your coach. We got them from us.
Oh,
I wish you were here this morning.
Spike.
He would need to be ragdolled.
Is he still here? I think he's still here in New York, I would think.
He's got to be here.
Or he was at the game, clearly, because that's where he recorded that, at Citi Field last night.
Oh, my
God. That was
God.
Before the game.
You scumbag. Yeah, and those comments. It was either one or the other. It was either that he was a strung-out drug addict or he was a malnourished loser. Those were every single comment.
I could see him right now walking aimlessly on Canal Street or over by, I don't know, Penn Station, buying drugs.
Spike is not a drug addict.
I mean, what,
I just
mean,
want to put the disclaimer out
he's
there.
He's like, oh, there's a bunch of losers around
he just
here.
Plays
like,
one
who
on
does
TV.
He think he is?
He did.
He walks in here, you bunch of losers.
Yeah.
In our building.
Yeah, yeah, well. Yeah, like he called us losers.
This is going to my New York friends, right?
All my New York friends.
WFAN losers.
Yeah. Am I wrong? A bunch of WFAN losers.
Did he not cry when he was leaving?
He did not cry, no.
He was emotional.
This is what the time that he got a little moist in the eyes, as Evan would say, was when we gave him that T-shirt and
yeah.
we didn't know he was leaving and he knew he was leaving. Remember, we bought that $1,000
T-shirt? When he loves T-shirts. That is the kind of like losers we are.
When we were in the big office, when he told us, did he not get a little red and teary-eyed?
He did.
He did.
All right. Yeah.
I mean, now here we are.
And we're losers.
And we're a bunch of losers now.
Yeah. I mean, guys walking around with a tapeworm, you know? I'm going to say. Skinny, vegan, hipster.
Relax. Anyhow, so now I really want the Mets to win and send his ass home back to Philly. Jets fired Rob. So I didn't mention the Yankees. My bad. So the Yankees tonight in Kansas City. Do have a couple of things from this. You've got Clark Schmidt against Seth Lugo. Here was first Schmidt fired up for the opportunity. But are you nervous about this start?
Not nervous. I think if you're nervous going into atmospheres like this, you can get eaten alive. So for me, I'm excited and I'm going to be aggressive and on the attack for sure.
We'll see. Seth Lugo goes for Kansas City. Now on September 10th, Lugo beat the Yankees and the Royals beat the Yankees 5-0. He went 7 innings, 3 hits, no walks, struck out 10, hoping to replicate that.
A month ago, that's a long time. You know,
I felt like I was pretty focused that game and executing pitches, and you know, that's what I'm going to try to do tomorrow.
We shall see who gets this one. Its series is tied at 1-1. The Tigers and Guardians tied 1-1. Their game 3 at 3 p.m. today. Also, you've got the Padres looking to close out the Dodgers later tonight. San Diego beating Los Angeles 6-5. Fernando Tatis, the big blow, a 2-run homer in a 6-run second inning. L.A. did mount a little bit of a comeback, but not enough. Couldn't get all the way back. Dylan Cease goes for San Diego tonight. L.A. likely to go bullpen game. All right, now to some of the reaction and some of the notes from the Rob Saleh firing. A couple more from Woody Johnson we didn't hear. This was Johnson on his conference call after he made the move to simply need a spark with this club.
This change, the change that we made today, that I made, I believe will bring new energy and positivity that will lead to more wins starting now.
He also acknowledges that the offense not been good. The
offense has been, certainly, it's been a challenge, more than a challenge. And I think it's something that I'm sure he'll be focusing on.
Now, one of the other things that came out of this conference call, I guess this was towards the end. They were talking about the whole situation with Hassan Reddick. So he had a message for the holdout.
Hassan, get in your car, drive down 95, and come to the New York Jets, and we can meet you and give you an escort right into the building, and you'll fit right in, and you're going to love it here, and you're going to feel welcome, and you're going to accomplish great things with us.
All right. The same security guards that escorted the head coach out of the building escort you into the building, son.
To
this wonderful place that we have here in Florham Park.
Oh, man. Here is Jeff Ulbrich. He is the interim head coach. Says, we are to blame, not just Saleh.
You know, there's some sadness and frustration because ultimately his firing is on all of our hands, you know, so we got to do a better job. We do it collectively.
And there's no doubt Aaron Rodgers, a lot of people believe, had a big piece in this. He will talk to McAfee later. Here was Ulbrich in terms of his.
Where do you think Saleh goes now? Like, he's got the
home.
He's got the house. No, but I'm saying
finally
here,
just got finished.
Right, exactly. So this is what I'm saying. The thing's finished. His family's in there. He's got all these kids. A lot of them have to be in school. Like, and he's got to stay here in New Jersey while all this stuff happens around him with the Jets. It sounds horrible.
Yeah, well, I would think that's unfortunately the choice that they choose when they go into the coaching profession, that they're going to get bounced around as they all have. And it's a really tough thing for the families to go through, especially when you got young kids. I you know, they may want to go back to San Francisco or Santa Clara, wherever they were prior to this, get rid of their house here and move back there. But and maybe put their kids in school the second semester. Second semester. Maybe.
But if he stays here, he could get paid not to work and golf with Joe every day.
Yeah,
well, it's getting cold out now.
1 year left of on his contract, so I mean, he's going to want to get back into coaching. So he's not going to.
Which is probably why he would stay here until he gets that next job. You would think.
You would stay here at least through the. You know, through the holidays, and then maybe if the kids, you know, if they're going to decide to move somewhere and get out of here, then I can totally understand that.
Well, here's Kevin O'Connell. He's the coach that sent him into being fired with their win in London, and it's discussing exactly what you're talking of in terms of being a head coach, hired to get fired, things of that nature.
We all know what we signed up for. This is an incredibly competitive league. We know what the task is every single day. You show up to work as a head coach in the National Football League, and doesn't make it any easier. Doesn't make it any easier as a fellow coach to see news like that.
And he was on McAfee yesterday, so says he loves Saleh, thinks he'll be fine.
He'll get a defense coordinator job, maybe back with San Francisco next year because they keep losing fourth quarter leads. You never know. So I'm sure I wouldn't be surprised if Kyle Shanahan's on the phone with him already saying, hey, come back here and just, you know, be some sort of set of eyes that I can use.
What happens in that case? They pay him what they want to pay him, and that balances out what the Jets owe him?
Yeah, so let's just say he gets a job to be a defense coordinator this year, let's say for $2 million. And the Jets owe him, I don't know, $7 million. The Jets would only owe him $5 million in that point, and he would make the $2 million from his new team.
Understood. Saints quarterback Derek Carr out indefinitely. Oblique injury. Patriots star Drake May at quarterback against the Texans. That according to multiple reports. And I'll just give you a few seconds because it is opening night for the team. It's also the first game of the last season of Sam Rosen on MSG.
Yes, it is.
You've got the Rangers in Pittsburgh tonight. Peter Laviolette, do cup expectations and does this add pressure to your group?
I don't know if it's necessarily a pressure.
you know, it's just that's what I think there's that's what we expect.
Expectation and pressure, it's a privilege, and here we go. And yes, Igor Shesterkin reportedly turns down a big 8-year
$8 million
contract.
I would think that your Devils are going to be a really good team this year, Jerry.
Well, let's hope so. We said that last year, too.
No. I felt like this year they took care of their goalie situation. They're better on defense. And to me, it looks like they signed some really top quality, you know, glue guys and veteran guys that have won in this league.
Blaine Trotschek.
Yeah, it's big, big acquisition.
Yeah.
And they did get off to a good start winning a couple of games in Prague. All right, time now for Moment of the Day, which is brought to you by the family of Casamigos Tequilas. Anejo Blanco, Cristalino, Reposado, Mezcal, and the new Casamigos Jalapeno. Casamigos Tequila brought to you by those who drink it, reminding you to enjoy each moment of your day responsibly. How can this not revolve around Rob Sala? Obviously, I mean, it could be the Mets. Early this morning, Gio was absolutely incredulous about Joe B. on the Jake Asman show, wondering if Rob Sala wearing the flag of Lebanon on his shirt played a part in his firing. I will tell you that this has made the news rounds, too, now.
Yeah, the whole Joe B. thing. Joe saying it.
Yes.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. The Joe Beningo talking about that clip yesterday was just absolutely amazing. Absolutely amazing. That's another one of those things that just like Rob Sala texting with Joe Beningo last year that you're like, is this real life? When Joe Beningo says during an interview about Rob Sala being hired, quote, and I'm sure Lebanon is not happy with Hezbollah. I mean, what? What are we doing?
I'm going to tell you this, and I don't want to get political, but in this case I have to. Lebanon flag, bro, and, you know, all the missiles are coming out of there, and, you know, and I'll tell you this much, that, and this is just me, bro, this is just me, but the Lebanese cannot be happy with Hezbollah, okay? So, I mean, I'm like, what's happening? Yeah. On a Zoom call with Jake Asman?
Yes.
What the F?
Yes.
Hezbollah!
Right.
Joe Beningo in talking about Rob Sala, the Jets head coach getting fired, is referencing Hezbollah. These are the things that are happening in 2024. This Fu Manchu on a Zoom this close to the camera with some kid.
Oh, yeah. There you go. Moment of
the day. I mean, it's funny, too, because it makes the news, right? You say it's made the rounds. It's his radio host suggests or whatever. It should be like, burnt out borderline idiot suggests. I mean, you can't like the credence, like radio host suggests. Like, can we have a little more context there?
Well, it's out there.
All right. Homer and Gio coming to you live from the Built Ford Tough studio.
My penis is bigger. Not only does this thing cut my pubes, but it makes my penis look bigger. Now, speaking of that, if you see somebody's missiles that are coming out of Lebanon, they kind of look like penises. And you know that the Lebanese, they are not happy with Hezbollah. So get yourself some Manscaped. Promo code Hezbollah. If you don't know how to spell that, neither do I. Look it up somewhere in the regular news.
You can see it on TV.
You can see it on TV somewhere. Just put on a regular news. You'll see it there.
Boomer and Gio on the Fan. Coming to you live for the Built Ford Tough studio.
It's the Boomer and Gio podcast from WFAN.
Man, I got to tell you, this show has flown by.
That's what happens, man. Time flies when you're having fun, huh?
That's exactly right. You feel good about the Mets. Unfortunately, a man loses his job and his family. We're going to have to pick up and move somewhere else, which you hate to see have happen. But you wonder if it will jumpstart the Jets and to see whether or not they can beat the Bills on Monday night. And if they beat the Bills on Monday night, guess what? All will be okay. They'll be in first place in the AFC East. And hopefully this offense starts to wake up, and hopefully whatever Jeff Ulbrich is allowed to decide within the building, whether it be Todd Downing calling the plays or holding Nathaniel Hackett more accountable for the lack of production, that will be up to Jeff. And hopefully he does have that ability. And other than just standing up in front of the team and getting everybody all riled up, that he understands what is missing in the offense, especially from a defensive perspective. Remember, they were going to hire somebody. Arthur Smith was the guy that they wanted to bring in to sit on top of Nathaniel Hackett. And Arthur Smith ended up taking the OC job at the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yep.
And then Rob Saleh said he was going to be more involved in the offense. And we heard the last couple of weeks, and they were talking about it on the NFL Network, that they appreciate, or at least supposedly Aaron Rodgers said in his interview, I think, with Kyle Brandt, that he did appreciate the fact that Rob Saleh was in those meetings because he had a fresh defensive perspective or something along those lines.
Aaron Rodgers on McAfee is going to be very interesting today. I'm curious to see how he handles it. I mean, I'm guessing it's going to be a little bit of a letdown in the sense of, you know, I feel bad for Rob. This is what happens. We don't play well, and I take responsibility. And
well, he'll say those things, but, you know, Pat McAfee should say, you know, look, it's been your offense the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, what?
Are you guys prepared, underprepared, or not prepared?
Yeah.
I mean, what's going on with the offense, and how are you throwing interceptions to fire zones to Van Ginkle, and when they know exactly what your reads are when they show you a particular defense? It doesn't seem like you're really adjusting to anything.
Yeah, and then Pat McAfee really asks those really crisp, clean, short questions, too. So he gets right to the point with his questions. So if you notice, you know, it gives no wiggle room for Aaron to get out of his questions.
This is another, and we put it down as the tipping point for the Jets, because I think, well, I think most people do enjoy the interview and the interaction with Aaron in that show. If they don't start winning and things don't start turning around, those things are going to go and fall on deaf ears when it comes to Jet fans specifically. Maybe not the rest of the fans out there, but for Jet fans specifically.
Have you seen this guy with one leg on a sailboat in Tampa who's going to ride out the hurricane again?
I have seen this guy, and he's obviously taking his life into his own hands, and he's choosing to do so.
It is truly amazing. So he's a man with, he's with, they call him Lieutenant Dan, because Lieutenant Dan from Forrest Gump, you know, lost his legs and then went out there in the storm, and he has one leg, this man, and he's out in Tampa Harbor, and he's just on this sailboat, this 20-something foot sailboat, and he rode out Hurricane Helene, and he's going to ride out this one as well, Hurricane Milton. And I mean, he's obviously, you know, of a different mindset than many of us.
How big is the sailboat he's on? Like it's, a 20-footer?
It's less than 30 feet. Yeah.
I know. I saw him saying how, you know, a boat is meant to float, but the storm surge, the winds, just the absolute destruction that is coming to Tampa, Daytona Beach, Naples, maybe the tip top of North Miami, even Charleston, South Carolina is going to, you know, have some significant rainfall and wind. Tallahassee is going to have wind. We all know somebody down there in Florida. Neither team, Tampa Bay, is not home this week. They're in New Orleans to play. The Jags are in Chicago to play. I don't necessarily know that it would affect Miami. I don't know. Miami may be on a bye this week.
Yeah, so he's everywhere. This Tampa.
Miami is on a bye this week, yes.
So it's the police down there said that they will have to forcibly remove him if he doesn't leave his sailboat. That's not going to go well for anybody. But all you have to do is put, like, LT Dan into X or whatever. I mean, this guy is everywhere on social media now. He's just... He's like a superstar.
That sailboat may be in downtown Atlanta in 2 days.
Yeah.
I mean, it is enormous, and it is growing, and it had grown into a Cat 5. I don't know if it's slowed down a little bit, but this is going to be one of the worst, if not the worst, storm ever to hit Florida.
And this Lieutenant Dan said that the only way he would leave his boat and go to a hotel is if a woman was there with him and would stay the night. So the only thing that's going to make me leave this boat is a woman. So somebody get this man a woman and get him out of there so we can live. He's definitely going to die this time.
I thought you said they're going to forcibly take him out of there.
Well, yeah, but I don't think he's going to leave. And what can you do?
Well, if they take him out of there forcibly.
I don't think I don't know if they really will do that. Are you going to put him in jail? What are you going to do?
No. And this thing is supposed to hit tonight. into tomorrow morning and what they're really worried about, much like we are around here when something like this happens, the tides.
Yeah.
And I think the tide, the high tide there is going to be tomorrow morning.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Yeah, that's obviously the Superstorm Sandy situation. Why it was a perfect confluence of events for a storm, not perfect for the people dealing with it, is the way that the tides had matched up with the surge and everything else. It was, that's what made it so devastating. So, yeah, all eyes will certainly be on this storm. It's the second one to hit that coast in a matter of weeks. So it's just a really, really tough situation for everybody down there. So we hope that if everybody got out and there's no stupid people down there staying, streaming on TikTok like there was last time.
Well, the problem is, you know, obviously all the supermarkets, gas stations, things like that, there's a run on all of that stuff, as there would be here and as there was here. And, you know, you just hope that as many people could get out of there as possible. Some people are actually driving south. I was watching this yesterday. Some people are actually driving south as opposed to north. And that seems to make a little bit more sense to me just looking at this.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're at Disney World, you're screwed because it's going to hit right over Orlando. Tampa, Orlando, Jacksonville is going to get
hit. Well, the park closed like the first or like one of, it was the only 11th time in history I think it closed at any point. Since it opened, which is a very small number,
it's going to go right over that stuff. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see what the damage looks like come Friday morning.